In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the Word of His Grace.
Heavenly Father, speak to us yourself. Let your word find an entrance into our heart. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. Put your words on my lips. None of me, Lord, no word of mine, all of you. That Jesus may be glorified in Jesus' name. But he giveth more grace. Somebody say more grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We have said that grace is a free gift of God that neither operates, that neither comes or operates in vacuum. Grace is given by God. It is not earned. It is given. He giveth more grace. Yes. We know grace is given. Grace is not earned. But please understand that grace does not function in vacuum. For grace to show up on a man's behalf, there are certain demands that it places on man. Grace places certain demands on you in order to show up in your life. It places certain demands on me. And so that is the reason why you cannot conclusively and absolutely say that it is free, although it is free. Yet it has demands. There are things that grace expects to see in my life and in your life so that it can show up. And don't forget, grace is all that you need to get all that you want. It's all you need. I will not be tired of telling you that what God gives, what God dispenses, is grace. He dispenses grace, and grace enables you to get those things that you are trusting him for. We have said grace is divine enablement. Enablement to do the needful. Grace helps you to do what is needed. That's grace. To do the needful for you to arrive at where you are going. That is what grace is. We have said the ability to do the needful is what grace is. We have also said grace is the enablement to press on in spite of challenges. It is the power to say no. Power to say no. Grace is power to lay it down. Grace is courage to stand in difficult times. Grace is ease of performance. Grace is empowerment to get. What are the demands of grace? Grace brought you salvation. He brought me salvation. And it will take us to where we are going. Grace. Somebody shout grace. Whatever you start by faith requires grace to complete. If you start a project by faith, grace is needed. And that's why he says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He says, the hand of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this house. His hand also will complete it. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with the shoutings of grace. Grace. To somebody help me shout, grace. Shout it again, grace. May you not lack grace. But what are the demands of grace? Demand number one. Go back to James chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, we have, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humility is the number one demand of grace. You must live a humble life. Else you'll be humbled. If you don't humble yourself, you will be humbled. Humility is number one demand of grace. You know, grace is the lifter up of men. So when grace sees humility, he lifts you up. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 17. And Samuel said, that is to Saul, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made? Can you see that? Saul was made when he was little in his own sight. He did not have a bloated impression of himself. He was promoted when he was little. Look at that verse of scripture in the Amplified Translation. It says, Samuel said, is it not true that even though you were small, insignificant, in your own eyes, he wasn't really small. Don't forget he was taller than the rest, very handsome. But in his own eyes, in his own sight, he felt he was insignificant. And that is what grace looks for in a man in order to elevate him. The problem with this generation is that we think we know it all. A man who thinks he knows it all, who cannot be instructed, who is not teachable because he knows it all, will forever be a stranger to grace. You know it all. You are a self-conceited fool. You are a stranger to grace. What do you have that will make you puff up? How beautiful are you, young lady, that you become cocky? How blessed are you? What is the level of your wealth or affluence that you are not proud? Pride. So grace demands humility. Humility. The New International Reader's Version of verse 17 says, Samuel said, there was a time when you didn't think you were important. When you didn't think you were important, God now elevated you. Message Translation says, and Samuel told him, when you started out in this, you were nothing. And you knew it. Pride is to be nothing and not know it. If you see a lot of people who are proud, they are indeed nothing. But they don't know it. And woman shaming pride. Nothing, but you don't know it. Grace places a demand for humility. He receives the... I have told you some time ago, when the church was in at the warehouse, 2009, thereabouts, a young man walked up to the church. You know, the church auditorium is the same, is the gate, our gate. The gate to the church is the entrance to the auditorium. He entered, and my office was directly opposite the gate. He entered with three personal assistants. Young man. Maybe you should be, maybe 30. They carry Bible, carry everything. And then he wore heavy ring. I don't have a problem with that. And then he was like asking, where is the pastor of this church? So I came out to him. I am the pastor. Oh, I am. And he introduced himself. Reverend, so. We just came into this neighborhood. We just have the leading to start a work here. Oh, we are just starting a work. And that's the way to introduce yourself. Where is the pastor here? And he was galloping, you know. And then, welcome, sir. And I greeted him with reverence. That's the way he wanted to be treated. And I treated him that way. That's a platinum rule. Treat people the way they love to be treated. I can't remember whether I put my hand behind my back to follow him. As he emptied him. Three months down the lane, he came back to see me. This time he came alone. Life and the burden. I've dealt with him. So he came. Humiliated around. Hunger dealt with him. He came to beg him. To ask for help. Did I help him? Why wouldn't I? Yeah, I did. Gave him money to eat. Gave him counsel. That will help him. So, man of God, you just humble yourself. Humble yourself. Let me tell your neighbor, don't allow pride. When you become so blessed that nobody can talk to you, you are showing grace to God. That I don't need you. You are divorcing. You are filing a divorce petition to grace. Let me show you something. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Let's read verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter. I have about 5 responsibilities or demands of grace, but whatever I'm able to talk about, let's do justice to this. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at this. This is humility explained. And you who are younger must follow your leaders. Go back to King James. King James Version. The Bible says, likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elders. That's humility. That's number. Somebody say one. Number two. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Two. Somebody say two. That is when you can validly and correctly go to verse number 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Does that make sense to you? Submit to the elders. Defer to the elders. Those who are older than you. Don't become so anointed to call your father son. Don't become so anointed. My son, Elder Aaron, you are finishing yourself much more. My son, Elder Miyale, I want to thank God for these my sons here. I praise God for their lives. They are my sons. Because you are anointed. Calling your mother's daughter. He said, you younger, submit to the elders. And that's why I will not receive them frustrating to greet me. Who be me? Who I be? Where I be from? Praise the Lord. Grace demands humility. Anywhere he sees humility, it tabernacles there. Let your grace be humble. God will bless you. God will be humble. It also submit to the elders. Then he says, it is easy for me to submit to the elders. Second part, submit one to another. You are proud, sir. If you always dominate conversation, you won't let others talk. You is an element, a sign of pride. Because you know it all. You're talking as if you were there. A friend of mine was having an event and he invited some of us who were there, and then, well, the guy was getting married. His wife married an Oyibo woman who now said, you know the way Oyibo people they behave. Say, okay, we see friends, but we're good. We're not doing it again. So it left him. So after some few years, he came back home to now marry in your dudu. Well, classmates, secondary school. So, you know, so you can imagine it to be a wedding of a man of 50 something, older than me. And so those who will be there will be 50, we're groomsmen. And then we sat, we were talking, another friend. And this guy started talking, one friend. A friend to his friend. He started talking about Nigerian politics. About how Tinubu will step down for Oshimadu. How it was a game plan. I was in a meeting where he was talking. I said, brother. Oh, you will see what I'm telling you. Pride. You don't know, you were talking as if you are there. Let others talk. Submit one to then you can now submit to God. Your submission to God will be a very correct and right submission. If you are humble. I said submission to God will then be meaningful. If you are, so you submit to the elders, you submit one to another. Husband and wife, submit one to another. There are some husbands that will never take their wife's advice. What do you know? Quiet. They will never. They know it all. You are proud, sir. You are an alien to grace. Some wives will not listen to their husband. You are an alien to grace. Let me move on to point number two. What's demand number one? Humility, sir. Be humble. Don't be proud. Please. Don't let God himself resist you. God is the giver of grace. You just don't go to places and start calling yourself what you are not. And start introducing, start announcing, and start talking. If it's not in the law, what if you have no pride, what if you have shut the door against yourself? We just got the contract to supply electricity to Nigeria. Now when you are just talking anyhow. Now you now need them. How can you go to the place where you have told them you have received the contract? It's been awarded to you, to your company. And here you are. You have a 25,000 naira problem. Who will help you? The reason we complain, nobody's helping me, nobody's helping me. Watch the way you have been talking now. What have you said to them? You have it all. I don't worry. I'm going to get it. I'm going to give you that thing. And you don't have it. Demand number two, responsibility. For grace to show in your life. Grace must see responsibility. What must grace see? The The Lord demands responsibility in exchange for authority. If God is going to give you authority, it demands responsibility. Here, O man. Oh, let me speak to you as a person. Here, O man. For God to give you authority, it demands responsibility. You must be responsible. You must be responsible. Anywhere grace is responsibility, he goes there. He goes there. Responsibility. Accepting the responsibility. Don't run away from responsibility. That is where grace goes. To the man who accepts responsibility. Immature people, they want opportunities without responsibility. You must accept responsibility. I was sharing with my wife. A man was dragged to court. A lady dragged the man to court for impregnating her and denying responsibility. Impregnated her, the woman gave birth to a set of twins. And he said, I'm not the one. And in court, you won't believe what the man said. He said, my Lord. It happened in South Africa. Please, my Lord, think about it. How can I sleep with a woman? Only once. Only once, my Lord. That one, even one time, is not more than 5 minutes. And she now says she give her. So you will not give her to her two. I slept with her only once. Idiot. He took opportunity. He declined responsibility. And that's why you must be very careful, young lady. Don't open your laps anyhow. The guy is telling you how much he loves you. Sweet talking you. You see, it baffles me. When guys are talking to you, you know within you, deep within you, the remotest corner of your heart that this guy is lying. And yet you are enjoying it. Oh. Accepting responsibilities. Grace goes to the place where responsibility is accepted. To the man who accepts responsibility. Responsibility also connotes responsible behavior. Behave responsibly. Behave responsibly. Look at David. Grace located him. He was a responsible young man. If you are a father, happy Father's Day again. You have a business. You have a flock of sheep. A herd of cow or cattle. And then you have a big boy, Eliab, your firstborn, macho. And you have another man, another boy, Shama, and then another Abinadab. They are big bad guys. They could fight in the army. Then your last born, just 17. And you are looking for who to send to the forest, to the wilderness, with your herds, with your flock. And it is the last one. Who of us will have responsibility and commit it to the last ones when the older ones are there? Who among us? Who is our father? I believe one of the reasons why the grace for leadership devolved upon David was because he demonstrated responsibility. The father most probably have asked Eliab to go. He said, I know they go. Shama said no. Abinadab said no. David said that I will go. And he took it up. How is it that the last one is the one that is responsible? And so when God was looking for who to be king after Saul has behaved, he looked for the boy who was responsible. The boy was in the wilderness taking care of sheep. God knew that this boy will be able to take care of my sheep, my people. And he picked him. Sometimes some of us, we run away from responsibilities. They are looking for you to do something. You dodge. As often as you dodge responsibilities, you dodge grace. You dodge grace. Go ahead. And they are just using me. Be used. Be used. No matter how small the responsibility, don't dodge it. Embrace it. And then behave responsibly. Anywhere Saul sent David, the Bible says he behaved himself wisely. Meaning, he behaved responsibly. He was a responsible young man. 1 Samuel 18:5. Responsibility is to accept and to stand by the consequences of your actions and omissions. I've just told you what responsibility is. Number one, accepting responsibility. Number two, responsible behavior. Number three, accepting and standing by the consequences of your action and omission. Number four, responsibility is not passing the buck. Not doing what? Passing the buck. Genesis chapter 3. For the sake of time, you note it from verse 6 to verse 13, or even beyond, to verse 15. Genesis chapter number 3. It's the story of Adam and Eve. But Adam committed certain errors. And I want to speak to fathers. Please don't fall to the same error of Adam. Error of Adam. Every wonderful father, we are celebrating fathers today. Please avoid the error of Adam. Adam failed in accepting responsibility. He failed and he lost out of grace. When a man refuses to accept responsibility, he has just pressed no or delete or reject to grace. You have a wife, show responsibility to your wife. You have a child or children, show responsibility to your children. Be responsible. Grace is attracted to responsibility. It is a demand of grace. Grace is looking for humility so it can branch. And then it's looking for responsibility. A responsible father, a responsible mother, grace branches there. Grace stays there. Adam, what did he not do? Every father hear the error of Adam and avoid it. Number one, he did not teach his family. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is grown, he will not depart from it. Your children must be trained. Train your family. Every father, please train. Please train. Don't be high-handed with them. That's what the scripture says. Train them. Teach them. Teach them. You know, when your children grow to a point, they become your friends. Can I plead with you, fathers? When you are supposed to become a friend to your children, don't miss that opportunity. Be their friend. If you miss that opportunity to be a friend to your child, you have lost him forever. Can I quickly tell fathers? Fathers, can I hear you say amen? Including would-be fathers, say amen. Never expect your children to prefer you to their mother. Hard talk. I am also a father. Never expect your children, I repeat, to prefer you to their mother. That woman carried them in her womb for 9 months. They will always gravitate. You see, you can do your best, not because you are doing competition. Just carry out your responsibility. Now, there are some exceptions to whatever rule. Every rule, there are exceptions. You agree with me? There are some children that particularly girls who prefer their fathers. And I will tell you the reason. I want to mommy manja. Mommy will just scream and shout. You didn't do that very well. If she cooked, you didn't. Your mommy wants her to grow up and start cooking like she's cooking. And mommy has forgotten that she started from a place. Anyway, mommy's mommy also shouted on mommy. So do your responsibility. Don't begin to fight. What are you doing with your mom? Come back here. He is wrong. You cannot detach your children from their mother. By doing that, you are losing them. The only way for these children to love you and to take care of you is for them to see you show love to their mother. I'm telling you. Show love to their mother. Give to their mother. Say no, you want. Amen. You know, my children talk to me. They talk. We talk. Like when King David was very young, he queried me. Why is it that it's mommy that is buying everything for us in this house? So my wife tried to correct him. My wife said, it's your daddy that is giving me money to buy it. He said, but he's not buying it. You are buying it. And he has never seen me give money to the mother to buy things for them. So what did I do? My wife, I think I have told her before. So I changed from giving her cash, monthly allowance, to giving her a check. And I would call, deliberately, I would leave where my wife was. I would go somewhere else. And I would call King David. I would write the check. So I showed him what check. I started teaching him. He said, this is check. I said, go and give it to your mom. It is our allowance, food allowance, our allowance for the month. He said, what is this? Small boy. I said, it's money. He said, this is paper. I said, yes, it's money. I said, how will this become money? I said, she will take it to my bank. I made a mistake. I will tell you the mistake. Take it to my bank, and then she will present it, and they will give her money. He said, oh, you even have a bank. I said, no, it's not my bank. It's where I keep my money. Oh, you have plenty of money. You not keep that. I said, you know, you have to be very careful. Not that I have plenty of money, but I have money. So I kept it. You know why I said that? One day he saw me with $1. Mewa. And he went to school and said, my daddy has plenty dollars. Smart children. So I started doing that. These same children, the last one, have queried their mother. Do you want to finish our daddy's money? When you enter there, one, balance. I said, don't worry, she cannot finish my money. God will continue to bless me. As I show responsibility, God will bless me. As you show responsibility, God will bless you. So, he didn't teach his family. He didn't teach them. That was why Cain could kill Abel. Because no training, no teaching. No, thou shalt not kill. No, I mean, there was no law there anyway. He didn't train, he didn't teach the children. Number two, error of Adam. He was not with his wife. Where was he when the serpent came to tempt him? To say it. Where was he? Please, fathers, always be with your wife. Mind the same thing. Be on the same page. Spend time with her. One of the languages of love. Where is Pastor Wale? Okay, he's gone to Lagos Church. One of the languages of love. I said that because the other day he was preaching. He said, okay, I think it was 2 Sundays ago that they said love language. He said his own love language is silence. Don't mind the man. I told him there is no love language called silence. I have shared it here before. Love has 5 languages. How many of you remember? How many of you remember? Raise your hand if you remember. You don't remember? Me or Rawahi? Eh, Tiekpo. What are the languages of love? Number one is what? Words of affirmation and appreciation. I love you. You're looking beautiful. You're looking good. I'm glad I married you. Words of, oh, you're doing well. Blah, blah, blah. Words of affirmation. That's number one. Number two is quality time. Spend time with your spouse, with your husband. Spend time. Quality time. Number three is acts of service. Do service for your wife. Wives, don't see it as his responsibility. Don't be like one sister. A husband, they just go, my husband will always wash plates for her. You know, let me wash you. Oh, honey, thank you very much. And so they'll be just the wife, the husband will be washing plates. I was washing all the time, wash. And so the husband's mother came to visit them. And the guy was talking with the mom, the wife was cooking. And then the wife forgot herself and called the husband, honey, you have not washed the plates. Yanni, kilo we. You know, the wisdom is that for the fact that the mother-in-law is there, you will go and wash it. Jimmy is always washing. Why would you go and tell her? And the mother carry a load. Ah! With tears. Oh, by your monje, oh, no, Fabo. In fact, if mama went on to say, oh, no, Fabo, no, for sure, no, for pata, we are aware. And it became an issue. And of course, the guy stopped washing for her. So, act of service, do service for your spouse. What is number? That's number what? Number four is gift. Gift. That is the language most women understand most. Gift. Giving. No matter how small. Recharge car. Stay connected. Handkerchief. And when God blesses you, you can buy big things. You buy. I saw this beautiful gown. And I felt it to be good on you. Boom. Love language. Buy things for her. Number five. What's number one? Number two. Number three. Number four. Gift. Number five. Gentle touch. Touch. Someone need deliverance there any of the. You hug, you hold hands, you just, it's okay, hug her. It's a love language. But don't exploit it. Sherry, women, can I tell you one secret about men? Every man speaks the language of touch. If it's you, wala wala wala, I'm a bus stop. Let me leave that point because it's the way you are looking at me now. Women, do you understand what I'm saying? You just go to hold your husband, just to hug him. You just feel like Dr. Olagbuju said, Pastor Doctor. You want to put your head. His mind is as raised. You know, he want to carry you from that living room to the bedroom. Straight. That's his own. The way it's wired. It's not his fault. It's his wiring. His configuration. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Okay? He was not with his wife. Always be with your wife. Number three, he disobeyed divine instruction. The error of Adam. Number four, he hid himself from God. Hiding. Error. A man of responsibility will not hide. Not from God. Can hide from man, but not from God. Number five, he made excuses. Made excuses. Passed the buck. He put blame somewhere else. Why? Who told you are naked? Have you eaten of the fruit? He said, the woman. Instead of accepting responsibility, he said, the woman. The woman whom you gave to be with me. He didn't accept responsibility. He made excuses. He passed the buck. And finally, number six, he resorted to self-help. Self-help. He went to cut fig leaves to make a prom. It's an error. Fig leaf only bow away. Only God can with the blood of Jesus. Okay. All right, we mentioned two demands of grace. Demand number one is what? Number two is, I believe God is speaking to someone here. The demand of grace number three is diligence. Diligence. Proverbs 22 verse 29. Do you see a man who is diligent in his business? He will stand before kings, not before men. Diligence is a demand of grace. Grace demands diligence. He wants you to be diligent, to be hardworking. That's grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. Paul was speaking here, writing to the Corinthians. He said, I am the least. You see humility there. I am the least. He saw himself as the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. He accepted responsibility for what he did. He didn't say, the Pharisees made me do it. He accepted, I persecuted the church. I am the least. You at least you've seen humility there. You've seen responsibility there. But look at the third one there. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly. That's number three, diligence. You could see this in these two verses. Can you? Can you see humility there? The least. Can you see responsibility there? I persecute. I mean Moshe. Then can you see diligence? And the body. You cannot be indolent. You cannot be slothful and be praying for grace. It doesn't add up. You are lazy. You are asking for grace. It is this grace you are inviting. This grace follows laziness. Grace follows diligence. Grace is not a blanket for laziness. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, 11 says, you must not be slothful. Not slothful in business. You must be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In your business, you must be diligent. Then, serve God fervently. Don't serve God fervently and be lazy in your business. Don't pray when you should be working. Pray. Yes, it's good to pray. It's important to pray. But you must work. Blessings follow work. I have told you here before that prosperity is, prayer is not in the prosperity equation. Hello? Can I tell you that? That prayer is not in the prosperity equation. Prayer is in the power equation. You can pray and be powerful and be a powerfully poor brother. You are powerful, spiritually powerful. You can see demon everywhere, like Pastor Shola's friend. He told us of his friend who was always seeing demon, whatever. He was smelling. Demons are smelling. You want to go on with demons? I see angels everywhere. I've told you one day, I was alone in the house. It's been long. And my house then, the house I live, the gate, you cannot open it from outside. You can only open from inside. And my wife will tell you and my children that I am very sensitive to things, to sound. No matter where I sit. Now, if you know my present house, upstairs, my study is at the back up. But the gate in the front, if somebody is knocking the gate, I will leave the study to call the children or call my wife, who is in the sitting room close to the gate, to tell them someone is at the gate. I am that sensitive. So I know when someone opens gate and when it is closed. And I know if my wife is coming in, I know how she walks. I know how she knocks door. Broom, boom. And I know my children, each one of them. And I even know some of these, my spiritual sons and daughters. And now if you are in my office and you see the window open, I will tell you, it is Toban Lanimio and Ilu Ambio will be the one. Or it is Karen and she will be the one. Oh, mommy has come and it's my wife. Oh, it's Daniel. Sensitivity. So I had the gate open. I was the only one in the house. And I was hearing a giant footstep. Bim. 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 And when I heard that, I sat by my study. I was coming and I was hearing bim. And it was just coming one by one. Bim. And the closer it got, the louder it became. You know what I said? Where I sat. I said, that can only be the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that can come and keep my company. And I continued what I was doing, and the footsteps stopped. If it's a demon, I was expecting a demon, and a demon cannot come and pay me this. That can only be the Holy Ghost. All this one that you're always seeing demon, 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 demon. And do you know that demons, they are like dogs? When they see fear, they know. When they see fear, they know. My dog trainer told me, don't allow this dog to dominate you. That the dog wants to be in charge. And then once he sees fear, how can you see a dog with rawr, and they say, don't be afraid. I said, no. So, oh, yeah, Mugi. Shut up! Praise God. When demons see fear, they are coming. Lift your right hand and say, that can only be the Holy Ghost. Around your life, around your family, it can only be the Holy Ghost. You have no fellowship with demons. So what are we saying? Be diligent. Be diligent. Don't allow laziness. When you are hardworking, grace comes there. In your business, please be don't be slothful. Do your business very well. Do the right thing at the right time. And your spiritual life, be fervent. Spiritual fervent, you need the two. You need the two. Don't leave one for the other. Grace is not an abdication of responsibility. You don't pray instead of work. You work and then you pray. So you can see the two. You can see work, business. What is your business? What are you doing to attract grace? Don't be slothful in that business. Do it well. And secondly, be fervent in your spirit. Again, I repeat, prayer is not in the prosperity equation. Hard work is in the prosperity equation. Saving is in the prosperity equation. Not spending on imports is in the prosperity equation. Investing your money is in the prosperity equation. Giving is in the prosperity equation. My time is up. I have 3 more minutes. I have 2 more points. And my last point, carry pregnancy. So let me talk on uprightness. And that demand of grace is uprightness. Psalm 84 verse 11. Psalm 84 verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Dear brothers and sisters, grace is not compatible with sin or lawlessness. It is not compatible with sin or lawlessness. It is not a liberty to sin. Grace is not license for lawlessness. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 verse 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we, in verse number 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein to attract grace? Uprightness. Don't live a lawless life. In Galatians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Aliens to grace. Shut the door of grace. Sin. Sin. Grace is not liberty to sin. Grace is not license for lawlessness. Judges chapter 21 verse 25. You have to deal with sin in your life and you have to come against lawlessness. There must be law. There must be order. Your individual and personal life, you must place order on yourself. You must put law on yourself. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's lawlessness. If everybody starts doing what is right in his own eyes. Lawlessness. There must be law. There must be rules. Your life should follow rules. Your life should follow laws. The demands of grace. The 51 is faithfulness. But I don't have the time to talk about that. Let's bow down now. saved by grace alone.
Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me.
Holy Officer.
Holy Officer.
Grace is God's free gift to man, but grace has certain demands. The man that will enjoy this grace of God must have paid a visit to Calvary. You must be born again. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we are saved by grace. Are you here this morning? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you want to see grace in your life? Lighthouse is where grace lives. Do you want to see this grace at work in your life? You are here. You have not given your life to Jesus and you want to do that. Please lift up your right hand. I want to be born again. I want grace in my life. I want to be born again.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Juwe Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.